News Radio WJPF. I want it first. I know that it was horribly inconvenient, but I was able to get Congressman Mike Boss to be able to break away from his responsibilities there at D.C. just to get a little time with us from, well, where are you, the cloakroom, Mike, or where are you?
No, actually, I'm in my office. The debate has now started on the rule. First votes will probably be in about a half an hour, and then I'll be entering my words in the debate this afternoon on the proxy voting part of the bill, because the other one's not hardly worth commenting on because it's just a dog and pony show where it's farce.
Okay, and that's one of the subjects we want to take up. So Nancy Pelosi began this week presenting a $3 trillion package that had been worked on, my understanding, largely behind closed doors without
absolutely no input from the Republicans.
Right. Now, add this 1,800
pages.
Right. So of these 1,800 pages and $3 trillion, is there anything good? What is good that is in this bill that you're willing to support?
Yeah, there is. There are some things for agriculture. And understand this. After the bill came out, we, as members of the Republican side of the aisle, reached out to the Senate as well as the administration, because the administration believes there are certain things in there that, but they created this with so many other things because they didn't come and negotiate together. And what's really bad is, Tom, remember, of the other four bills that we voted on, we have sat down with the administration, with both Republicans and Democrats, to come to an agreed bill. This is like the best way to describe it is this is the socialist wish list, is what it is.
All right,
is there some good things in it? Yes, there are some good things in it for ag. There's some good things in it. There's some things we need to do as far as cities and local cities and local governments, and making sure that we help states where we can. Don't bail them out on their bad decisions, things that are really dealing with the COVID virus.
Okay, but Mike, I want to, in particular, you talked about socialist wish list. Point to me something specifically that backs that statement up, would you please?
All right. Yes, I will. Okay, first off, you got $3 trillion. What it does is it allows, it actually put an amendment in that would allow for the illegal aliens to receive the stimulus package. It would allow for the federal government to take over our voting procedures, not the states, which has given them the right, we believe, is under the 10th amendment of our Constitution. First off, it's unconstitutional to do this. It would actually create a voting system where you could harvest votes, same day vote. All of these things that would allow for untethered basic voter fraud. It would require any state that has voter ID requirements that those would be dropped. So you go down that path. Then they also expand the SNAP program to a point that is unbelievable, and they also create a situation that discourages people from returning to work for not only during this pandemic, but for almost up to a year, 9 months to a year, where you would be paid more money to stay home. It would destroy the business, the opportunity for people to work, and it is so far out of whack that, let me tell you, that I don't know whether they're going to come over and vote with us, but they may. Members of the problem solvers from the Democrat side were so upset about this because it is doing exactly what we are trying not to allow happen when working with that group and saying, look, we've got to sit down together like we did on the first four bills.
Right, and I was read several stories that there are several Democrats who were saying, I'm not going to vote for this. I can't tell you whether I'm going to vote for it. They're defined as moderate and saying not supporting this $3 trillion package. Now, in particular in this package, $875 billion in fiscal relief funding for state and localities. What's your thoughts on that money?
We need to help out our state and local governments, but we've got to make sure, and this is a long discussion we've been having via conference calls, we've got to make sure that, one, it is not where we give it to the state and the state uses it as a lever like our governor threatened to do with the local governments that need the help because they have truly been affected not by bad decisions but by the pandemic itself, to make sure it goes to them. My support would be for that in a way and a manner that allows us to get it to the people who need it most, and that is our local government.
All right. Now, I was looking at some of the other stuff. There's issues involving price gouging, elderly offenders in confinement for nonviolent offenders in prison and releasing them. I see $200 million.
Releasing them, walking away from ICE. This is all, you know, their agenda. It really is. And then with the argument that it all is COVID-19 related. Well, actually, it's not, because there's funding for the National Endowment of the Arts. There's allowing, as you said, the prisoners to be released, allowing illegal immigrants to be released, federalization of the election laws, and just this is a nightmare.
All right,
and
it, Mike,
but it's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere.
And that's because you talked about this a dog and pony show. Now, the minute the Senate got a look at this, one senator said it's dead as a fried chicken dinner. I didn't know Foghorn Leghorn was back in, apparently, the legislature, but that's a direct quote from one of the senators. Nevertheless, the Senate is
everyone
saying,
knows who that senator is, too, by the
and
way.
And here's the thing. The Senate says, no, it's not going to happen over here. And you've got Democrats saying no in the House, while Nancy Pelosi is saying, can't we get bipartisan support as we did in the previous pieces of legislation? So this is a kabuki theater
looks,
of politics
this looks like
here?
The Illinois State Legislature.
Oh, okay.
It really does.
Right.
This is the type of games that Speaker Madigan would play to their base and say, see, we want to do all these things. And then they'll come back in an election cycle and they'll go, oh, we wanted to take care of this group and we want to take care of this group. And you can say whatever you want because it was all in there. Wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
But you can say whatever you want.
Mike, at what point, when you're at the level of debt, $24 trillion plus here in the United States, adding another $3 trillion, what point do we say we've got to start looking at the fact that we have a debt that is, and people will say, well, you don't think about debt when you're waging a war. Okay, I accept that analogy, but there has to be a balance achieved at the same time.
However, here's the balance that we need to talk about. When you know that when you're waging a war, you need to make the investment, and you need to make a wise investment. You need to get the right weapons that you need to defend yourself against the war. Or against yourself, against the enemy. In this case, we have two enemies. One is the virus itself, and the other is those governments that would seek to overthrow us if we outspend ourselves to the point that we cannot protect ourselves.
Right.
And that's how we have to look at this.
That's interesting.
You know, understand we have to be wise. We can't run out and pay everything out there. And we also need to weigh out, not to endanger people, but there's a time we have to go back to work.
Right, got to go back to
and
work.
And we're getting, and when you see one state doing one thing, that's the options of the states. But we've got a situation in Illinois which we're trying to deal with our governor, of not understanding that there's got to be a sensible way for turn up like other states. And you know, I mean, I know, and the reality is that there's others that say, hey, I don't trust that. I want to stay home. Then stay home.
Right. Okay. Mike, here's the other thing. The mechanics of voting in the House for this and proxy voting in blocks. Can you explain this to me? Are we setting a dangerous precedent in this area that you don't have to go to vote? Because it's clearly outlined, just as it is in the Illinois Constitution, you got to show up. Quorum.
That's just it. You know, if we got people in nursing homes working, we got docs working, we got first responders working, we got truck drivers, we got grocery clerks, we got everything. Why in the world it is that my colleagues believe, oh no, it's too dangerous to show up, when we've got a plan that Kevin McCarthy and Rodney Davis has put together on how to sensibly start turning up in phases how we handle, and yeah, we'll have to modify some things, but you know, I sent you an article, and that voting, it's done by the Congressional Institute, and it's voting present by proxy is an unconstitutional and an oxymoron.
Right.
Because our founding fathers argued very, very seriously, Article 1, Section 5, a majority of each shall constitute a quorum to do business, but a smaller number may adjourn for the day and may be authorized to compel the attendance of other members. So they would, when they were writing the Constitution, They would not take up business until a quorum was present. Why? And because that's the way we are. We're a Congress, and a Congress must be present.
Taxation without representation. You've got to have your representative.
You've got to be there in person.
Right.
This saying, oh, we can use electronic means. No. The founders were very, very clear. They could have used letters back then, but the founders were very, very clear. It needs to be in person. Now, social distancing, sure. But at any time, now understand, we are over 240 years of this rules. You need to make sure that you understand that if all of a sudden one member calls for a quorum, they can't. It's already been ruled in the courts that you can't have a quorum present. You can't carry somebody's proxy to make the quorum, because they're not present.
Right.
And so, therefore, we've got to sit down together. And the bad thing is this is a very, very poor precedent. This rule is being pushed forward. Once again, reminds me of what went on whenever I was in the state legislature in Illinois from Speaker Madigan, to move forward to give an extreme power to the speaker, who is the majority, over the minority. And remember that there is a motion that can be made, which is a quorum request, a quorum call, and that is cannot be debated. It is simply said you have to have a quorum present, and then they have to show that the quorum present. If they cannot, the only other motion that can be made besides that is you move to adjourn.
Mike, I've got some questions coming in from listeners. I've got a ton. I'm never going to get to all these. I'm sorry, but I'm going to start taking them in chronological order here. Please ask Representative Bost why nothing has been done for essential workers, healthcare workers, and grocery personnel, just to name a couple.
The original issue, well, first off, what has been done for essential workers are the same thing that was done for every taxpayer, and that is the stimulus check. Okay? So that was in there. The question is, as far as essential workers, is there a bonus or something that should be put out there? Several of the businesses are paying those that they can do that. Quite often the hospitals can't because they're not got income coming in, but we're trying to help them with that. Essential workers, the answer is they did get the stimulus check. And now remember, some of those stimulus checks aren't out yet, but that's because they don't have direct deposit.
Yeah, it took a while to get mine. Okay, in this legislation, 12,000 additional green cards plus family members over 3 years for doctors, medical researchers, and other healthcare providers already in the U.S. who are directly involved in fighting COVID-19 and provides flexibility of doctors to switch jobs and immigration protections for this family, which leads to the next question from our listener. With so many healthcare workers laid off or furloughed because of the lack of work at the hospital, why are we wanting to import thousands of foreign healthcare workers?
I would say that is the right question to ask. Right now, we have to be very, very careful because some of those foreign workers are, and I know that people are going to go, oh, I can't believe you're saying that. Remember, they came from the country that actually had this problem, caused this problem.
Another question.
And so there's a lot of questions in there.
How is it justifiable to pay people more than they actually make at work in unemployment benefits? How can that be logically justified?
Right.
Meanwhile, essential workers get to run to death for their same base pay. How is that fair?
Right. And this was an argument when the CARES Act came out that we presented to the Senate. But remember, we're in the minority here in the House. The Senate, they're in the majority, but that was the answer that got enough get the Democrats on and supporting. I don't think we should pay. I think we should make people in the best condition they can, so they can feel safe to provide for the security of their family. But paying them more than what they can at work, because I've got several employers that saying I got jobs available, but I tell these. My employees come on in, and they go, now I'm making more money. Let me tell you that if you do that, it's up to how they enforce it or not, because if your employer then says, I have jobs for them, it is highly possible that, you can lose that unemployment.
Right, and I have a number of people who have told me point blank that their employees said they didn't want to come back, including the mayor of Carbondale. So, like I said, this is something I've heard. Now, I've got a personal question. I'm going to take my radio announcer hat off, okay?
Okay.
If people are going to give stimulus checks and money, why don't you just not take the taxes off my check in the first damn place and let me keep the money?
See, that was one of the original discussions, and that still should be one of the discussions, that if that's the case. Now, here's what we want to remember, too. I've had several people, because they've heard rumors that someone was talking about a second stimulus package. Here's what the constituents need to know. We want to give and help to try to make it through this in the wisest way possible without breaking the Treasury of the United States. If we break the Treasury of the United States, your problem and your argument will not be with the United States government. It may be with China, because then they can take us.
Congressman Mike,
I don't mean to make, I don't mean to threaten or scare people,
right.
But reality is we got to be wise.
Congressman Mike Boss from D.C., when do you anticipate the vote, Mike?
We will have the first vote here in about probably less than an hour. That'll be the rule. Then we'll come back and they'll debate each one, because this is a joint rule. And then we should be done with debate and out of here by late this evening, I would say. Just know this, rather than fly out because it was going to take 3 days to find the right plane and everything like that, I didn't come out on horseback, but I did drive all the way out.
Did you really? That's a long drive, isn't it?
Hey, just only 12 and a half hours.
Yeah, I get numb driving from Carbondale to Marion. What are you talking about? Hey, now here's the thing, Mike. Did you get a chance to listen by chance to Judge Don Lowry's interview about Illinois and Constitution?
I did, and I was so glad that you had him on, because you know he is saying all the things that I'm saying to people. For instance, look, when the governor received the power for the 30 days. I can remember the floor debate. And the floor debate was very, very clear. If I remember right, it was Bill Black asking Lou Lang at the time, because remember, this was after September 11th. Is it the intent that the governor could use 30 days and then come back and do 30 days more, not without action from the legislature? That's what was said.
Right.
And so he has overstepped his power. And he's overstepped his power, too. We sent a letter to the president and to the speaker and to the leader, McConnell, saying after his statements were made about his not allowing federal dollars to flow through to these cities that make decisions to go back. He doesn't have that power on no federal money. He does not have that power either. And then the question is, if he threatens to take people's licensure, is that constitutional? Because now all of a sudden you're not allowing a person to make a living. These are all things that he can put himself liable for that I don't think he, and here's the thing too, Tom, this was vitally important to understand, because Judge Lowry brought that up too. They are liable. Not under under civil law, they're liable if they overstep their bounds. That includes the officer that has to enforce that. And if you want, yesterday there was a letter sent from the Illinois Sheriff's Association basically scolding the governor, saying we've not been brought in on any of this, and
right.
We are sworn to do what we have to do, and we are elected for the people. And they were not really happy about the threat.
Mike, when I read that letter, my takeaway was slightly different. How dare you threaten to pull our funds because we won't enforce your laws?
Exactly.
Right? And to put it to a finer point, I think.